Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Destiny of Humanity. Cain and Abel were the first children born to Adam and Eve, and they knew about the need to bring sacrifices before the Lord. Lucifer knew about the redemption plan for the human race, and he decided to contaminate the purity of mankind and force God to include fallen angels as well. This was accomplished when fallen angels procreated with human women, and the result was a hybrid race with no soul that could not be redeemed. Enoch was selected by God to record the events before the flood, yet his writings were not included in the Old Testament. Did you know that many of Jesus' statements in the New Testament are derived from the first book of Enoch? The time period from the fall of mankind until Noah's flood was 1,676 years. This is a considerable amount of time for the human race, and yet most people are ignorant about this turbulent era. This message is entitled, Events Before the Flood. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to continue now in our series, The Destiny of Humanity. And today I want to speak briefly about events before the flood. And I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read the first two verses. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I got to the man for the Lord. And again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. The Bible doesn't say how many years after they sinned in the garden. It simply said they had two boys. Now Cain and Abel had full knowledge of God that they needed to do sacrifices. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And to Cain his offering had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Two brothers. Obviously they were in their 20s, and obviously they had sisters. There were girls that had been born. The Bible don't record the name of the women that are born. These two brothers now, one was obedient, the other disobedient. Again, we got to bring in the devil. Sorry, folks, he's out there. He simply spoke to Cain and said, what a lousy deal. What's wrong with God? You gave a fruit offering. Find a fruit offering. For God has said, I need a blood sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22, we read the following. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. That's why Jesus had to shed his blood for you and me. Now Cain decided, I'll fix this. I'll take care of this. I'd just murder my brother. Get him out of the way. How about that, God? I'm going to kill your favorite son. Have that. So he simply was sneaky. Most murderers are sneaky. He just said to Abel one day, "Hey, Abel, let's take a walk down the road here. I want to show you some of my stuff in my field." And Abel said, "Okay." So they walked off. And when he was alone with him, now, he didn't have a gun, he didn't have a knife, but he had a rock, and he killed him. That's why we need legislation against rocks. You know, we got to protect ourselves. So Abel's bloodline was wiped out. Satan now was hovering over the garden. And in his mind, he simply was looking for a redemption for himself. He knew that there was a redemption for mankind. He didn't know how. So, he got rid of Abel, who was a godly man, and God completely rejected Cain and his descendants. Cain and all his descendants never made it out of the flood. They all died. There are no descendants left of Cain. God waited until Adam was 130 years old. That's a long time. 130 years old. And then he gave Adam another son. In 425 we read this. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God says, he has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." And in 5:3 we read this, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat the son's own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters." We don't have the names of the daughters. Now we have on the earth a man by the name of Seth. He was an upright man. He was walking in obedience to God. And God was going to use him as a bloodline to bring in the Messiah down the road. But Satan had different plans. Now, in your outline, those of you got an outline that you posted on the internet this last week, I got a mistake here. And I want to correct that. In the future, we're going to correct it when we put this up. Assuming that the male and female population was equal and that each couple produced one child per year, I started to calculate, but I'm not a good mathematician. I have a brother in Christ, Brother Thomas from Sweden. He's an engineer, extremely good in mathematics, statistics, and he's a programmer. And some time back, he used a specific program where you run numbers. And he came up with the numbers. The flood took place in 1676. And Brother Thomas said this, that statistically, there would be, at that time, 600 million people on earth. So from Adam and Eve to 1676, 1,676 years, mankind multiplied to 600 million people. That's a lot of people. It's twice the population we have in America today. The devil now said this, "I am going to pollute the human race." God has a plan for the human race. If I pollute it, I will force God to include myself and the fallen angels that are with me. Genesis chapter 6, we read this. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply," notice now, "multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God," these are angels, saw the daughter of men that were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. And verse number 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were old men, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination and the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Now, if you look in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, and you read this, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, now we know that we talk about the fallen angels, but cast them down to hell, delivered into chains of darkness, be reserved unto judgment. And then another book over from Jude, we read this, verse 6. And the angel who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Do we know anything from this period outside the Bible? And the answer is yes. There's another book called Book 1 of Enoch. And on page number 2 on your outline, I have laid out references. And in these references, you will see what Jesus spoke, and then you will see what the book of Enoch had written, what Enoch wrote down. Jesus is the creator. We established a long time ago. Jesus talked to Adam and Eve. Jesus is the one that talked to Enoch. Jesus talked to Moses. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. And if you look now in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In an Enoch it read, but to the elect there shall be light, joy, and peace, and they shall inherit the earth. Second reference, and shall inherit everlasting life, Matthew 19:29. Book of Enoch, those who would inherit eternal life. Luke 6:24, but woe unto you that are rich, if you have received the consolation. In the book of Enoch we read, woe unto you, a rich people, for you have put your trust in wealth. The next one, Matthew 19:28. You should also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In Enoch, and seat them each one by one on the throne of his honor. Matthew 26:24. The Son of Man goes, as written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. He had been good for that man, he had not been born. Enoch wrote, it would have been better for them not to have been born. The next one, from Luke 16:26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass from hence you cannot. He talked about hell and paradise. Neither can it pass through us that would come from thence. And Enoch says, in the manner is a separation made for souls. After death is a separation. The last one, John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Enoch said, oh, on that day, my elect shall sit on the seat of glory, as Jesus, make a selection of their deeds. Their resting place will be without number. So we got a mansion. Some people don't like when I preach like this, but I'm trying to bring out some truth, because we're heading into the end times. In Matthew 24:37, we read this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, notice now, Jesus saying this, I'm not referring to the flood, I'm not referring after the flood, I'm referring to the days before the flood. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, married and given in marriage, at the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This, about the year 2000, God alerted me to this. I said, what was it in the days of Noah? We know just that the angel had sex with women. They had created a half race. But what else happened? And then God opened up the book 1 of Enoch to me and showed that to me. In the outline on page number 3, I simply said this, that doctors, we had Dr. Luke at the time of Jesus. Doctors at that time, they could amputate. They could give drugs, not really drugs, but some kind of drugs and herbs and so on. But that's all they could do. But today, the modern medicine can do a lot of things. When we were in Pasadena, one of the families there that we know of and had a son. And his son is a medical student. He's in his second year. A bright young man, about 23, 24 years old. And so I said, so you are a future doctor? He said, yes, I am. I said, how do you like to do autopsies? And I couldn't believe this. His eyes begin to glitter. He lit up. He said, I love it. He said, it's wonderful. I have these corpses. I'm able to go in and I find nerves, bones. I find all the things. And they're just there like I read in a book. You know, I didn't say anything to him, but I mean, that would not be my favorite study to do. But here's what I want to know. We know what we know today because doctors have examined dead bodies. They take them apart. That's how you take doctors. That's how we learn. And then, of course, they do other studies and things of that nature. Let me just put this in. This is just a side note now. When you buy a shampoo, or let's say you buy some perfume, or you buy some house product, let's say a dishwashing detergent, or some other household cleaner, and it says, you know, avoid eye contact. If you get it in your eyes, wash it out, call the physician, and so on. Do you know how that is tested out? Let me tell you how. They have dogs, cats, monkeys. They tie them up, and then they spray this stuff into the eyes. And then they see the result to find out how to cure it if they get into human eye. Can you imagine the suffering of these animals that goes on every day? But we never hear about it. It's another atrocity that should not have taken place. So we now have got more advanced. We have laid out the DNA. We have mapped that out. We can go in and splice a gene. We can do a lot of things. We are cloning animals. 200 angels were selected by the devil. They had a knowledge how to create physical bodies. They created for themselves male bodies. They came down to earth. Actually, they were, the fallen angels are in orbit around the earth. They don't like to be on the ground. But these 200 came down to Mount Hermon, which is located in Syria today. The leader was St. Maias, and he divided them into 20 groups, 10 each, and a supervisor. He had him to swear a curse, an oath, because he didn't want to be doing this himself, that if they got caught, they would be all together. And they now went in and simply starting having sex with women, creating half-human, half-angel hybrid. I want to read from the book of John, chapter 8, 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, born in the truth, because there's the truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Some of you think I'm too far out. That's okay. Whatever is meaningful to you, I'm going to be a little bit more far out now. I have about 30 years experience of deliverance. And I have done several deliverances of people who were abducted by aliens and taken up into some kind of a ship where they were examined medically. I have had several of them, and each one told the same story. They did not know each other. Some of the women were impregnated, sent back, carried a child, gave birth to the child, and then the alien came and took the child away. Whatever they did, they don't know. These were not crooks. These were men and women. Some of them were educated. Some of them were laborers. Different. But they all had the same thing in common. They were laying in bed at night, alone, and creatures came into the room and took them and transported them to a ship. As it was in the days of Noah, so should it be in the days of the Son of Man. There's no doubt in my mind that we have today on earth beings that are halflings, that are walking around, and they are having sex with real people, creating again another hybrid. And if you look upon how evil is on the earth today, you will find that the evil today is much worse than it was 50 or 100 years ago. It is horrible. If you look upon ISIS, where they simply took, and they do it other places, where they take a man and just hold his hair like this and then have a dull knife and just carve around and cut his head off. That's painful. What human being would do that? Either you're demon possessed or you are something else. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be now, in the coming years. There was a technology transfer. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them to have a technology of agriculture. Just plain agriculture. And if you go to Africa, some of the primitive places there, you find they have an ox, and they have just a little plow with a stick, and you know, they're just very simple. But the earth was fertile at this time. And God never intended, you understand this now. God's intention was for Adam and Eve not to sin and to live on an agricultural level while he was multiplying them. He didn't intend for them to have a transfer technology. The fallen angels, Because let me ask you this. I want you to think with me today. If I would take any of you in the chapel here, anyone you watching, and if you're not the engineer in geology, and I would say, I want you to go to the mountain someplace, wherever you live, and I want you to find where we can find iron, copper, silver. Find a spot. And once you find a spot, go down and dig it up. And once you get it up, melt it. Crush the ore. You and I would not even know where to look. I cannot tell you, right here, the spot here is, we got some ore here for iron. The way you detect that is, they look upon a rock formation. You're educated. You're taught certain things that would simply say, most likely we have this here. Then you do test drilling, and you find it. Adam and Eve and his descendants didn't know that. He didn't have any equipment. But this angel, Azazel, he taught men how to mine, how to get copper, iron, silver, and gold, how to crush the ore, extract the metal through a melting process. And then he instructed them to make swords, knives, shields, and breastplates. Notice now, weapons of mass destruction. You can kill more people with a knife than a stone, right? You can stab faster than you have a stone when you got to knock them cold. This is what the angels taught, the fallen angels taught them. And so what happened now? Afterwards, we had wars, killing, and destruction. They also taught them witchcraft, incantations. And they instructed them, and they also showed them how to make paper, ink, and altar writing. Now, when I was in the seminary, I had to take archaeology, and I liked that class. In Mesopotamia, actually in Iraq, where this took place, back about 40, 50 years ago now, there was an archaeologist and a group of them. They said, we want to dig to get before the flood. Now, if you don't know anything about archaeology, what they do is they have shafts, and they just start digging down, and then they find different civilizations. You have a civilization here that got destroyed, they build another one on top of it. And after they'd gone down hundreds of feet, they came to virgin clay. And they dug another 10, 15 feet. And people said, oh, that's the end of it. There's nothing more. And this one archaeologist said, no, let's dig. There's more. And after they had dug quite a bit, suddenly the clay disappeared. And they found a civilization prior to the flood. Now they got excited. They expanded the site. And here's what they found out. They found out that life before the flood was on a very high technical level. After the flood, it was Stone Age. They had cities. They recorded dates. They did surveys, just like we have today. They held property and so on. It was a tremendous technology. And that is what the fallen angels did to people at that time. The fallen angels also taught them how to do abortion, how to get inside a woman, kill the baby, extract it. Abortion is old. It's Satan's old murderer. It's a technology transfer. The people became morally corrupted, destroyed. And Enoch noted, in his book he said, writes this, that they became wicked. They committed adultery, getting deep into sin. And if you look upon armies today, or military, what's the first thing you do with young men when they come in? You break them down. You encourage them. Go to the bars. Drink. Have sex with the women. If you've ever been to a military base, you know this, that every day there's a payday at the base. What do you have outside the gates? The whores. The whorehouses are located, massage parlors, all right, located around Army, Navy, Air Force bases. Never fail. It's all from that time. It was total wickedness. I want you to turn with me now to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to go down from verse number 5 now. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. Of course, God knew in advance this would happen. But when he saw it, God has emotions, and it grieved him that Satan could corrupt mankind so horrible beyond the scripture. Every imagination out of thought of his heart was only evil continually. Today we have pornography, abortion, homosexuality. We have pedophiles. Everything of evil nature is there. People pay good money to go to places where they would tie them up and beat them, had sadomasochism, sex. Crazy. You got the bathhouses where you got the homosexuals eating their feces, urinating on one another, and committing all kind of vile acts in his bathhouses. They had to have a bathhouse because they got to clean themselves up when they go out. They are terrible inside. How do I know? Because one of our men got to do some work, electrical work in the office, where they had a homosexual office in town. He found the brochures. And I had people come out the homosexuality telling me what they did. Praise God, I've never been to a bathroom. I never planned to go. But it's bad. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I'm created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For repentance made I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What do we do today? GMO, genetically modified organism. Today it's almost very difficult to find food that has not been genetically modified. That's what they did before the flood. GMO food is not compatible to you. It's changed molecules. It simply means that your body will be having disease and sickness from it. It might take 10, 15 years. Let me go down and read a couple of verses. Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. What do you have today? Violence. Wars. Violence. Every day somebody's killed. But it's killing all the time. This morning, last night, they had some people killed. One person killed outside of McDonald's. Had an argument. Somebody pulled a gun and killed. Instead of a stone, they used a gun. This last week, I believe, I don't have the facts, but I believe this is what happened. There was a young black man, Texas, and he was a youth pastor, wonderful guy. It was a woman living in the same apartment complex. And they must have had something going on. She comes home from work, walks home, and says, by mistake, I walked into this man's apartment. I thought it was mine. So I saw a man in this, I killed him. You know what? How do you walk into someone's apartment unless you got a key? How many of us leave our doors unlocked, particularly if you live in a city? And if you do walk in, you know, you should recognize, you know, when you walk in, hey, there's some different clothing here. You know, this is not my furniture. Guard that. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. If you look now in the outline here, I had men of God. And we have Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. All the patriarchs died before the flood. But here's what I want you to understand now. Of all the descendants of Seth, and of these men, they were men, God of men, only 8 people made it out when the flood came. That means that of all, even the good bloodline, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But only 8 people out of 600 million was God able to save. That should be frightening to us. Look upon the world right now. The masses of people do not know Jesus, have not been born again. Many have been to a religion of different kind of religion. And let me tell you this. I'm respecting people. But a Muslim is heading for hell. Period. It doesn't matter how good he is. A Hindu is heading for hell. A Buddhist is going to hell. Unbelievers are going to go to hell. This is what the Bible says. We have to warn people. 600 million people. For 100 years, Noah preached. 100 years. They were building a ship. Noah didn't build himself. He hired people. That ship was 45,000 tons, like an aircraft carrier, World War II. That was a huge ship. He hired men. They built on that for 100 years. People that talked about it. There must have been a spectacle. There might have been Disneyland in that time. Everybody going to see crazy Noah building a ship on dry land. It never had rained on earth at that time. And Noah stood there. I want to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Here we are today, in the greatest Sacramento area, preaching. And most people do not even know we exist. They don't care. We're reaching thousands via the internet. We want thousands to billions. And we're heading down to a time called the big, great suffering. Let me get the right word on that. Matthew 24. Tribulation. The great tribulation that we're coming down to. Enoch was not allowed to physically die. God translated him. I want you to read that from Genesis chapter 5. If you pick it up here in verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. He begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch never died physically. And then we find the same thing in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What I want you to take home with you today from this: we're living in perilous times. Things are going to change. Right now we got a grace period. Hopefully we get President Trump reelected another 4 years. But already fallen angels have intermingled with human women. We have halflings on the earth today. The Antichrist is going to be a beast. I want to read that. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads. And 10 horns, upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. He came out of the sea. He's called a beast. He's not called a man. I believe that this person is a halfling. He will have supernatural power, because he's in this inner spirit world halfway. The false prophet is going to have supernatural power. We're coming in to a time that's going to be different. It's going to be supernatural things that people not have power over. And we need to recognize it. If you don't have the book of Enoch, book one of Enoch, I would simply highly recommend you buy one. By the Ethiopian version, not the Slavic version. The Slavic version is corrupted, but the Ethiopian edition is a correct one. There's a lot of information in there. When you read it, you understand that this man Enoch, living before the flood, was shown a lot of things. And he wrote it down. He was told, write this down for future generations. Some of you are laughing at me, and you can laugh now and I'll laugh later. But in 1947, there was a technology transfer when Satan simply abandoned a UFO or a spaceship, whatever you want to call them, in New Mexico, Roswell. And that ship was taken intact to Patterson Air Force Base and examined. This is where we found fiber optics. This is where we found microchips, lasers. Everything that we have today was found on that ship. You that are born later, you don't understand. Radios in the 50s had vacuum tubes in them. About 8 to 10 of them. Very hot. Very primitive. Bulky. We had card processors, IBM machines. We had all kind of mechanical things. When I was in college, I had a slide ruler that I had to work with. It's not terribly accurate, but you can work approximately with it. We didn't have any calculators. We never seen them. We lived Stone Age compared to now. And in less than 30 years, we went from a mechanical age into the computer age, where we are now are accelerating faster and faster with more knowledge day by day, week by week. How was it possible? A technology transfer. Just like in the days of Noah, so it is in the man when the Son of Man is coming back, Jesus coming back. I want you to study this lesson. Look it over. And then simply say this: God, there's one thing I need to do. I need to recommit my life. I need to rededicate my life. You need to increase your prayer time, Bible reading. You need to increase your time of witnessing. You need to get more active in the kingdom of God. Because the day comes, the night comes when no one can work. I got out of the lamb. Probably some people said, well, we're not going to send any more money into that ministry. That guy is a lunatic. Well, God bless him. Nothing I can do. All I can do is to present the truth. My experience, 30 years of deliverance, what I have seen, what I'm seeing today, and simply saying this, as the days of Noah were, so shall it be at the days when Jesus comes back. If you're not saved, and you're listening to me today, and you say, well, you know, that's pretty scary. I want to get saved. Here's how you get saved. You just ask God right now, forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. He was crucified, rose back up on the third day, and he took away my sins. Father God, forgive me. Jesus, come on in and save me, and he will. When we finish here, Charles Terrell is going to come. You will not hear him. You will not see him. And Charles, we take about 8 minutes of your time, go through the scriptures, and pray with you to make sure that you get saved today. If you do not get saved today, would you call us, write us? Let us know so we can rejoice with you and we can help you to grow in Christ. I would love to hear from you. Some of you have called and written to us after you got saved, and we really appreciate that. To those of you that are walking in Christ, you're towing the line, you're doing what you should do, take heed that you need to dig a little bit deeper. Things are changing. They will not be the same. And we need to be trained in spiritual warfare as we move into the end times. May God bless you. Brother Soteros.
Lord, we thank you for this lesson today. Let us take heed, we pray, O Lord, and to know that we live in an environment that's it's getting worse and worse. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that we, Lord, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for, O Lord, for leading us, for guiding us, O Lord, for revealing yourself upon us, that we will take heed and we are going to learn more and more, study more and more, O Lord, and realize there is a world out there, Lord, that do not know you. And Lord, there is a harvest out there. There is a harvest, and we have opportunity after opportunity to lead people to Christ, O Lord, that we, O Lord, oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, that we don't want to see, O Lord, people wind up in hell and then lake of fire. Thank you, Lord, that each and everyone has an opportunity to reach out to people around us. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for opening doors for us. Make a way for us, O Lord, and put that desire in our hearts to reach out to the lost, to pray for the sick, to deliver those that are afflicted. And we want to thank you, Lord, that we have a big job in front of us. And thank you, Lord, those that also, Lord, that, those, oh Lord, who are learning, let them learn more and more. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will be, oh Lord, accounted worthy, oh Lord, to reach out to those who are perishing. And we're going to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for what you are going to do, Lord. Thank you for this message. And thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes that we may see and our ears that may hear, oh Lord. And we're going to thank you and praise you for using us, oh Lord, for touching your people today, oh Lord, and realize that there is a need. And also let us take heed that we will not, oh Lord, fall. Take heed that we will not fall, we pray in the name of Jesus. When we think that we stand, let us take heed that we will not fall. And we give you, Lord, all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved. but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the third part in the series, The Destiny of Humanity, and was entitled, Events Before the Flood. Cain and Abel were taught by Adam about the need to bring sacrifices before the Lord. This was part of the redemption plan for mankind, and Lucifer decided to contaminate the purity of humanity in an effort to force God to include the fallen angels as well. This is why Genesis chapter 6 says that fallen angels procreated with human women to create a hybrid race with no soul. Moses, Peter, and Jude were all aware of this account, and each of them quoted from the first book of Enoch. So who was this man whose writings are not included in the Old Testament? Enoch was the fifth generation after Seth, and he was selected by God to write an account of life before the flood because of his love and faithfulness to the Lord. In fact, many of Jesus' statements in the New Testament are derived from the first book of Enoch. The time period from the fall of Adam and Eve until Noah's flood was 1,676 years. This is a considerable amount of time for the human race, and yet most people are ignorant about this turbulent era. This is significant because Jesus told us that life in the end times would revert back to the way it was in the days of Noah, when evil reigned on the earth. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1668. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.